year. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the church, not a Bible could be found that contained God's holy word. The blood had been removed from each new version with care in hopes that the preacher wouldn't ruffle any hair. The preacher would speak of the original Greek, and no one seemed to doubt a word he would speak. The old King James Version had been tossed to the side, and too hard to understand, the preacher would chide. No matter the souls from that book had been saved, no belief that God's words would not pass away. Some verses removed and thousands now changed by the godly scholars of the Laodicean age. A word added here and a word removed there, could the pure words of God be found anywhere? I pondered the promise of Psalms 12, 6, and 7, and knew God's perfect word was settled forever in heaven. I thought of that promise and asked, did it really matter, when there in my study I heard a great clatter. I ran to the bookshelf, and there on the floor had fallen an old black book from behind a loose board. Its verse in old English, poetic and bold, and I knew I had treasure more precious than gold. I read from the scripture how God's only son went to the cross and shed his own precious blood. How the Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried, died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose the third day. And if I trusted in him, then I would be saved. God taught me the meaning of Christmas that day through an old King James Bible that happened my way. I wrote that about 20 years ago, I think. Say, well, why do you hold that book up in such regard? Because there's been more souls saved out of that old King James Bible than all the other versions put together. Holy Spirit has used that for English-speaking people. I believe we have the Word of God in that book. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 1 this morning. Matthew 1, chapter 18. We're going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story. Some important things, all important things here in this story. It says, now the birth, I'm in 1:18, Matthew 1:18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, notice here that Joseph, nowhere in the Bible is Joseph ever, in the King James Bible, is Joseph ever referred to as the Lord's father. It will say Jesus' mother and Joseph. Or it'll say Mary and it'll say Joseph. It will never call Joseph the Lord's father. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is, and being interpreted, is God with us. God is, or God with us. So, well, why is it important about the virgin birth? Virgin birth, conceived of the Holy Ghost through a virgin. Why is that important? Well, I found out a few years ago that geneticists claim that the makeup, the blood makeup of an infant is determined by the father. The doctor that I see in Cincinnati, his name is Arthur J. Craig. He's a primary care physician, but he is also a specialist in hematology. That's a blood specialist. And I asked Dr. Craig, is it true that the blood makeup from an infant comes from the father? And he said, absolutely. So see, that means that the Holy Ghost, God the Father, the Holy Ghost being the father, the child's blood did not have that sinful nature. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, something happened to their circulatory system. Something happened to the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Later on in one of the prophets, it talks about Israel, their blood being polluted. Well, the Holy Ghost gave our Lord and Savior a blood supply that was pure and unpolluted. And it came from the Father. He took on a fleshly body from conceived of a virgin, his mother Mary. Just thought I'd throw that in. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now if you'll go with me to Philippians 2 and chapter 8. Philippians 2, chapter 8, the Bible says, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was born to suffer a death for your sins and my sins. Wherefore, because of that, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My. When our Lord was born, the angel announced, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. His goodwill is toward us. His goodwill is in your direction. It's available to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord demonstrated God's goodwill toward men. The Lord Jesus Christ was a personification of that goodwill. My goodwill is toward you, and then I've given you everything that ever meant anything to me in my precious Son, Jesus Christ. His goodwill is in your direction. It's there for you if you're willing to receive it. The Lord Jesus Christ, his goodwill toward us, his love was toward us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, watch it, that whosoever... That indicates choice, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, it's available to you this morning. It's available to the world. It's available to the members of ISIS this morning. It's available to Al-Qaeda this morning. It's available to the heathen who have never heard God's goodwill toward men. It's available. John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Why? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Say, well, God loves us all. How does he love us? He loves us in the fact that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever will can go to heaven. It's a matter of choice, and it's available to all men. He preached good tidings to all men, all people. He loved us that much. God the Father did his part. He did his part by sending his own precious Son, giving us everything that was precious to him. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That propitiation is a word that means the appeasing of God's wrath. God's wrath was upon a sinful man, upon that sinful nature and the sin that man had committed, his wrath. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. But that wrath was appeased when Jesus Christ shed his blood. That wrath was appeased. His wrath on sin was assuaged, I think the Bible uses. Our precious Lord did his part. He lived a perfect life without sin, without fault, holy, harmless, undefiled. He did everything required of a proper, perfect sacrifice. The Heavenly Father would declare, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Roman soldiers would declare, never man spake like this man. The Samaritan woman would declare, come see a man that told me all things whichever I did. Surely is this not the Christ? My. John the Baptist would declare, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." If you remember back when Abraham, Genesis 22, I believe it is, in that neighborhood, was about to sacrifice Isaac. And they had the wood and the fire for the offering. And the boy said, "I see the wood for the fire, but where's the offering? Where's the lamb for the offering?" And you know what? Do you know what Abraham told Isaac? He said, "God will provide himself a lamb." If you have a New Age Bible version, it won't read that way. It will say God will provide for himself. No, that's not what it says. God will provide himself. God himself will be the lamb. And that statement is also the prophecy of the Lamb of God. Because when Isaac looks, what's caught in the thicket, it's not a lamb, it's a ram. But when John the Baptist shows up and he sees the Lord coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My. Pilate would declare, "I find no fault in him." See, our Lord, our precious Lord, did all that he could do to save you this morning. If you go to hell today, it's not his fault. It's your own fault, you hard-headed rascal. It's your own fault. A hell wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. All you have to do is come to yourself with a little repentance for the rascal you are and reach out by faith and trust Jesus Christ. Oh, not me. Oh, it wasn't easy for our Lord. It says in Matthew 26:39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and praying, say, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." As Mother Mary had been told of Simeon in Luke 2:34, says, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." You hear anybody today speaking against Christianity? Everywhere. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Our Lord willingly submitted to the will of his heavenly Father. 1 Peter 2:23, it says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." The very God of glory, the incarnate Word of God. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He was the visible image of the invisible God. He would stand before Pilate one day. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Bible says in John 1:10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Why? Because their hearts were hardened, their ears were closed. He was in the world, it says, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Romans 1:21 says, "They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." John 19:30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said," as he hung on that cross, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. God the Father looked down on his own precious Son that day. That's the same day when our Lord was crucified. The earth went into convulsions. The earth shook and went into convulsions. The sun refused to shine. A philosopher on the other side of the world, when the sky is darkened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, "Surely someone, somewhere has offended the gods." God the Father looked down on his own precious Son and he saw the travail of his soul and said, "I am satisfied. The sin debt had been paid. Your sin debt has been paid." Are you willing to accept that payment? "Not me. I pay my own bills." Then you'll stand at the great white throne judgment and you'll give account of every idle word. "I don't want justice. I want mercy. I can't handle justice. I need God's mercy. My, my, my. In the greatest expression of love. See, the God the Father did all he could do by giving himself the form of his precious son. In the greatest expression of love ever offered, he sent his own sweet son to redeem his creation that he loved. Jesus Christ, God the Son, did all that he could do. That holy thing, the Bible calls it, that holy thing conceived in Mary would live a perfect, sinless, righteous life. It would make the lame to walk. He would make the dumb to talk and the blind to see. It cleansed the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead to life again. That's who he was. The Bible says, never man spake like this man. Another place it said, what manner of man is this that even the seas obey his voice? 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 53, he said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, it said in the beginning of this passage, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. My, my, my. He walked down to the river, John the Baptist, to the Jordan River, and he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. And John the Baptist said, oh, not so, Lord. Said, I have need to be baptized by you. And the Lord said, hey, I'm coming down doing whatever sinner does down here. Said, the Bible says he was numbered with the transgressors. Whatever a sinner does, I'm going to do it. Numbered with the transgressors to fulfill all righteousness. My, my, my. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Heavenly Father did all he could do by giving himself, his own precious Son. Jesus Christ did all that he could do by living a holy, sinless, spotless life, becoming a perfect, proper sacrifice, and willingly going to that cruel cross of Calvary. The only one thing more, the only one thing more, and that's a requirement of mankind. It's whatever you do that will complete that redemption plan. You have to reach out by faith and accept it. Don't try to impress God with how good you've been or how many church services you've been to or how many church traditions you've followed. God is not impressed. He wasn't impressed with Cain. He won't be impressed with you. Cain brought a bloodless offering to God, and it was not accepted, and Cain was wroth. But Abel shows up with a bloody little lamb, and God said, that blood is acceptable in my sight. It's available to you today. If God did his part, the Lord Jesus Christ did his part, the Holy Spirit did his part. The Comforter, when he comes, shall convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. That Holy Spirit dealing with your heart today, has it ever dealt with your heart and you just pushed him away? For that redemption plan to be completed for you, you have to reach out by faith and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a mess, Father. And I'm asking you the best way I know how to be merciful to me, a sinner. Why would he refuse you? After everything that he went through, everything that he put up with, why in the world would he refuse you coming to him the best way you know how? By simple faith, he won't refuse you. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. My, my, my. Then said they unto him, John 6:28, said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. 1 John 5:11, the Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Watch it. And this life is in his Son. Not in your denomination. Not in your church traditions. Not in your church attendance. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. John 6:28, my, that verse I just read, see, and you look at the story with Pilate. Pilate could have changed history. Jesus stood before him in total innocence. Pilate said unto him, said unto them, what shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Hey, Agrippa had an opportunity to spend eternity in heaven, and he blew it. He told Paul in Acts 26:28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, Paul, close, but no cigar. Felix could have kept himself from hell at the preaching of Paul. Paul preached this, he said, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Pilate is in hell this morning. King Agrippa is in hell this morning. Felix is in hell this morning. Hey, it's too late for them. It's not too late for you. It's just your hard-heartedness, that old stubborn pride that you won't admit that you've got a sin problem. And you're just a little too much of a tough guy to ask the humble, lowly Jesus to have mercy on your wicked soul. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with it? You going to go to hell in your pride? This holy thing that was conceived of a virgin by the Holy Ghost of God. What are you going to do with it? Jesus did his part. Holy Spirit did his part. The Bible says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done in spite unto the Spirit of grace. It's crazy for you rejecting Christ. There's a warning. Come to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whoever is athirst, let him come. Stand up, I'm done.